Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
What do a solitary teenager who forms life-changing bonds with his high school friends and a talented Jewish athlete attending a privileged private school have in common?
Whoa, I don't know. What do they have in common?
Well, let's find out, because this week I watched School Ties.
And this week I watched Perks of Being a Wallflower.
And now it's time to make the movie connection.
And here we go. Welcome in, everybody. Hi there. My name is Jacob, and I'm here with my sister,
Casey.
And this is the podcast, The Movie Connection, which is
buddy.
A podcast. Yeah, that's yes, it is. Like, look at the title of the episode that you chose. Look at it. It says right there, The Movie Connection, which is a podcast where, in an effort to stay connected and to, you know, broaden our individual movie horizons, we decided to connect over that thing that unites us all. That one thing.
The one thing. Movies.
Movies. Come on. No, it's not air. It's not this planet. It's not. No. It's movies, everybody. And so each week we assign each other movies to watch, usually that we haven't seen before. And then we watch them. And then we sit down to discuss them and review them. And we try to figure out, hey, is there any connective tissue between these two different movies?
Any at all.
Anything.
Any little thing.
And the results are pretty hilarious sometimes, but, you know, I don't think there's going to be a lot of laughs this episode, but I'll try to provide them just to offset the situation, because
we've got some heavy movies, man.
Heavy movies.
Heavy ass movies.
But I wouldn't have it any other way. And do you double this one? Not so much, I don't think, in my opinion.
Not unless you want, like, a day of depression.
Yeah, man. Especially, like, Perks of Being a Wallflower, like, you don't double feature that with anything. It kind of needs its own.
Honestly, I watched it yesterday and spent the whole rest of the day in my feelings. Because it's sort of the movie, I know we aren't there yet, but it's sort of a movie you internalize.
Oh,
at
man.
Least I do.
Right. Yeah, I've been doing this thing where, so I'm normally a morning person anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I've been doing this thing where lately for the podcast, like, I've been watching the movies that are for the podcast, like, in the mornings, like, you know, ready to go before I get ready for work and all that stuff. Can usually fit one in because I'm telling you, I wake up early. But anyway, I'll watch it because I feel like everything's clicking. Everything's like moving in the early mornings for me.
For you. I am a super opposite person.
Right. So I just find I can connect with things, like, you know, I feel things a little more. So, like, some people would not be into that, would not be able to process anything. Me, it's all up there, ready to go. And, yeah, boy, was it there, ready to be accessed with this movie. And it, like, and then I had to go to work. And, yeah, that was great.
Fuck. Yeah, I should have given you a heads up. I mean.
Well, you kind of did. But
I tried to a little bit, but without spoiling things.
Yeah.
You can't really give, like, the right kind of.
No, and you
warning.
Didn't. That was the thing. Like, I thought I was in the clear because I thought it's like, oh, the fight happens. I'm like, okay, cool. Because I thought you just said assault.
Sexual assault.
Yep, exactly. And then I was like, oh, wait, what's happening? Oh, what's okay. And then it occurred
to me
happening. Anyway.
Yeah, so, well, both of these movies are heavy for different reasons. I feel like School Ties does have a little bit more of like a, like, there's, like, a little bit of an upbeat ending, sort of.
Oh, yeah.
And not that Perks has a bad ending, but that movie sits with you. Mm-hmm. But School Ties, man, I've never even heard of this movie.
Yeah, crazy, right?
I've never even heard of this movie. I love Brendan Fraser.
Right.
I am fond of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. And so for me to never have even heard of this movie and then to see them all in their baby forms, especially the other two. Brendan Fraser always pretty much looks the same to me. But, like, you know, Ben Affleck, I will say I kept forgetting he was in it. And then his character would say something and I would look and I'd be like, oh, that's Ben Affleck. Like, he's really, he's such a baby in this film.
He's, this was very much in his co-star.
Totally.
Like, you know, he was definitely still working on it. And I mean, he was still the kid from that Burger King commercial, you know? Folks, do yourself a favor. Look up.
Go on YouTube.
Netflix Burger King commercial, and I tell, oh, some of the most beautiful cringe.
Oh, it's so good.
Just, it's so good. It's so Ben Affleck. It's perfect. It's like, yeah, this would be his, like, first, like, acting gig, you know? but no, you're right. Ben Affleck, yeah, he, not prominent, but he tries to make himself, he can't not. Like, I think he's the only one not wearing a shirt at one point when they're all dancing around to cafe and shit. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. He would be the one to be like, I think I should do this, I should do this without my shirt. What do you think? It's like, okay.
Okay.
Fine. Like, yeah, I just think, whatever. Do you see us not caring? Like, awesome. Well, what do you say we dive right into this one then? Let's start with School Ties. Tell me about it in your own words.
David Green, played by Brendan Fraser, receives a scholarship to go to a fancy school to play football in the 1950s. David's family isn't rich, so he already feels a little out of place, but he is outgoing and he makes friends pretty quickly. The only thing is, David feels like he must hide the fact that he's Jewish. A lot of his new friends are anti-Semitic, including Charlie, played by Matt Damon, who ends up outing him in the shower room, and they get into a very intense fight.
Yeah.
Charlie cheats on his exam, then blames David, and the boys have to vote for who will take the blame and be expelled for good.
And if you are familiar with the Salem witch trials, we all know how well that goes.
For real. Votes on who cheated? Like, who votes who's a witch or not?
Whenever you give people the power to be assholes, they will do it. Oh, my goodness.
And that teacher being like, we have an honor code. I'm like, bro. Like,
there were aspects of that movie that are, yeah, very eye-rollingly, like, but at the same time, are they that far off?
Right, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like,
I've never been to a private school.
Yeah, privileged society where it's just like, oh, my God. And but it wouldn't surprise me if it's like, no, my God, it probably is like that, God. Right, hadn't heard of this one. So this one, yeah, it was a late discovery for me, but it very much reminds you of another movie that takes place at a kind of private school, very prestigious school type of situation, right?
Are you talking about Dead Poets Society?
Of course.
Okay, yes. That is on my, if you like this, then you'll like this list.
Of course, I mean, that just goes without saying, like, But that's the beauty of it. Like, that would be the double feature right there.
Yeah, that would be a good double feature.
Right. Very similar in a lot of ways. A big part of it is the music, I think. Like, I felt like these themes do feel very, like, this feels very Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
This one focuses a little more on, like, the character, like, one character, right?
This focuses more on one character. Like, none of the teachers have the same impact.
We kind of have the anti, you know?
We sure do. Yeah, that guy. Whew, that an guy. Asshole.
We'll talk about that guy, but so put a pin in that one. But no, but then Dead Poets Society is a little more like, it's more about the ensemble. It's about bigger things, right? It's like, right. You know, as opposed to like the one character type of situation. I feel like we're very much following David, his journey, his, yes. like, you know, his perspective on things. Which I guess, David, this story is loosely based off of some of the experiences of Mr. Dick Wolf, the writer of Law and Order.
Wow.
The creator, yeah.
That is interesting. I didn't Great. Know that.
Like, I learned a few things. One, that, and then the fact I did not realize that Dick Wolf was Jewish. I did not know that.
I didn't either. I can tell you who's not Jewish, and that's Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I did some research, and, you know, I read, like, some different things that Jewish reviewers had to say about it and stuff, and none of them were upset. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were like, he's definitely not Jewish, but, like, he didn't, right. like, you know, do anything wrong. Exactly. And so for that, I'm like, yeah. And, you know, in his way, he was, like, helping spread, like, more information about.
Oh, no. You know? Yeah, exactly. Very so. True. But, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, today it would definitely probably be played by a Jewish person.
You know, but then again, I say that, and then they're casting, like, James Franco to play, Fidel Castro.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, and then I think John Leguizamo was kind of pissed about it, and like, maybe it's too controversial. Like where, but I feel like both are valid. Like it's like yes, okay. So I feel like Hardline is like yeah, we do need more authentic representation because we yes. have been getting away with the other for so long. But then you have the fact that isn't an actor's job to play people unlike themselves and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like in some situations, like religion, for example, like they're not going to ask every actor that tries out for a part, what religion are you? Because that would be like a discriminating factor in general, right?
Right. Very
Sorry,
true.
My cat. So I think you're right. Representation matters, but yes. like, I think that, in situations like this, especially like it's fine. Right.
Right. And this is definitely different from that because Fidel Castro, like it's not a real person, like all this stuff.
Right.
So there's all of that to bear in mind also.
Right.
But it definitely is interesting. It's weird that like, yeah, we still have some of these same problems that we, you know, think that are so far gone, right? Like anything else.
Yeah.
But that's actually one of my questions. Do we still see a lot of the intolerance towards Jewish people like in this movie, you think, nowadays?
I don't think it's quite that this open.
Uh-huh.
But I think that, yeah, my husband is Jewish. Like he had, he's not super religious, but he had a bar mitzvah and he was, you know, his dad's side of the family is Jewish. And they like, you know, they say sometimes like everybody hates Jews. And it's terrible, but it's not wrong. Like in the way they're depicted and stuff, you know, sure. is still like in a way that's not favorable. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately they're still really targeted, you know, like a Jewish temple was bombed like a year or two ago. Very and true. Everybody in it died. And so, you know, I think that they're definitely still being discriminated against. Yep. Maybe not as openly, though. This movie, everybody was like, we all hate Jewish people. we're right. not even going to ask if anyone in the room is Jewish. We're just going to talk about how much we hate Jewish people. And we're going to make jokes at their expense. Really, really big assumption on their part, right?
Blatant.
Yeah.
So try to do heavy question, light question. So let's talk a little bit more about Brendan Fraser, though. So he stars in this thing.
He sure does.
Charismatic. This was so good. Brendan Fraser time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because this came out.
Yeah.
In 92.
There you go. Yeah.
I was trying to figure out when George of the Jungle came out. 97.
Well, this was kind of his audition. we even heard him do
Dude, I know. I was just like, oh my God. So obviously, yeah, I love him very much. I really liked him in George of the Jungle. That's like a comfort movie for me. Right. I loved the Mummy movies. And you know what? I loved him like guest starring in Scrubs.
Nice.
Like his storyline in Scrubs is one that if I went back and watched it, it would like tear me apart because it's such like a heart-wrenching, beautiful story that he has, like the side story.
Oh, I see. So he had like a whole arc.
He sure did. Yeah, like that went, it spanned seasons, multiple seasons.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. Really
freaking sad and beautiful story. And so, yeah, I mean, I love him a lot, and I was really bummed when he stopped acting.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see that he's starting up again and that he feels like he can talk about the things that drove him away from acting.
Right. Yes, we kind of covered some of this, I think. Yeah, we did George of the Jungle. Did we do the Mummy?
No, we should, though.
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we definitely
because,
will.
Because, man, I love that.
Yeah. And Brendan Fraser.
Such a fun movie.
It's really unfortunate what drove him away from acting. It's, yeah, sad and unfortunate. It's great that now he's doing it again. We're experiencing what a lot of people like to call a renaissance.
I love it. So cute.
Which is great. And that's why it was so disappointing, among other things, the disappointment that came with Batgirl not ever getting to see the light of day. That also meant that we don't get to fucking see a Brendan Fraser performance. Like, are you kidding me? Like, part of the outrage, yeah, where it's just like, you're kidding me. You had Brendan Fraser, and you're going to tell me you can't release this thing. Get out of here.
It is such a bummer. And they were hyping it up for so long. I just can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, such a bummer.
HBO Max, it's a crazy time right now, because on the one side, HBO Max, best streaming service,
right, but
they got some really shitty leadership going on right now.
I'm
here for it. Anyway, back to Brendan Fraser. So, like, you've listed, so those are some of your favorite performances. Do you remember Blast from the Past, or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that one. He's also done some voice acting, I think. Like, he's great. So what is the appeal? What is it about this guy?
I think that, like, part of it is that he seems to be a genuinely nice person.
Yes.
So sort of the Keanu Reeves effect. Like, mm-hmm, when you hear somebody's hardships and you hear that they're still, like, a good person after their hardships and they're nice to their fans.
Yes, right.
And they're nice to their staff, like...
I feel like I've heard, like, everybody who works with him, like, yeah, it's a good experience. Like,
yeah,
they really love him.
Yeah, everything I've read, like, about people working with him and heard, like, from the cast, the people from Scrubs, like, on their podcast, like, he was just a joy to work with. And awesome. I even have read, like, that, you know, he was really nice to, like, the makeup artists and the costuming people. And, like, those types of people really, to me, are the gems of Hollywood, because...
Yeah.
Maybe everybody tries to start out like that, but a lot of people, through the fame and stuff, don't stick to that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Fred Armisen was like that when I was on Portlandia. And this guy, I mean, this guy's done SNL. Like, I mean,
yeah,
like, kind of comedy wing of things, like royalty and everything. Yeah, super nice. I was just an extra, like, you know, and he, yeah, super nice to all of us. So, yeah, it's great to have those people. So you think it's that.
And I also think he's just, like, so charismatic and sweet. Like, he's really cute, too. He's definitely a cutie. Doesn't hurt.
Right. But that was the thing, is, like, he could have easily just been, like, the himbo. But he's
not,
like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, okay, we see a lot of those male actors at the time who you just kind of love to hate. Like, they're great at playing those hateful fucking asshole guys, right? So why are privileged white dudes such pricks? Like, Why, like, they're so often, like, we want to talk about stereotypes. All right, let's talk about stereotype. No. Like, yeah. These privileged ass, and we've seen these types of characters so often. A lot. And, I mean, for some reason, it brings Brink to mind. I mean, we got a...
Yes, I was literally just thinking of Brink.
Yeah. What's the problem here? I mean, I don't think there is an answer, but you know
there's
what I mean?
There's no answer, but yeah, that, and I do think that it's a little true too. Some rich people I've met are pretty pretentious.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's the whiteness, the being rich, both. Right. Just being born like in another class, because I also find people who have to work for their wealth are usually like nicer, more generous.
There's the ignorance side of things, so you know that comes with the privilege, right? Well, if I don't see it, it doesn't matter to me, like, you know.
Right. Yeah, that definitely is true. There's a lot of ignorance that goes with it as well, because if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth.
Which leads me, like, part of the frustration with these guys is they all try to position themselves as like, well, if you had just been honest from the get-go, and it's like,
oy.
Let me ask you, Casey, do you think it would have made any difference if they was upfront about being Jewish to his colleagues?
I think they would have been mean. They would have hazed him. And I think that they would not have included him in anything. Like, he wouldn't have been their friends.
Right.
I really liked what he said to his roommate. It was almost my favorite quote, but when he was just like, what religion are you? Well, why didn't you just tell me that?
Right.
Like, because he was like a Methodist or something, and he's like, well, why didn't you tell me? And he's like, well, I didn't think I needed to. Well, exactly. Why would I have to tell you I'm Jewish? Like,
boom. Yes, that's a perfect example. It's like, this, that can go with so many things. Like,
it
swap
can.
Out religion with thing, right? Like, yeah. Yeah, put him in his place. That was really well done. Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. And, you know, that guy was, like, the nicest of his friends. So, same. I'm not hating on that guy, but.
Yeah, the nice, yeah, quote unquote, him and, like, that super tall guy ended up coming around. Like, I didn't expect that. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, super tall. super tall.
Super tall.
Yeah, I don't, like, it's so, like, privileged white dude to be like, well, if you would have just been honest, like, motherfucker, get out of here. No.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Oh, so I could make it more convenient for you to like, exclude me? Like, what is
that?
Yeah,
mm-mm. Lies.
How dare you? okay, now let's talk about this French prick.
giving French people a bad name.
Which, I mean, perfectly portrayed by this actor. Like,
yeah, he was great.
Thoughts on the French teacher and the whole McGivern, frankly, the whole McGivern storyline. That was kind of weird. That was a whole kind of beeline that went somewhere and then kind of left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was going to go way worse, and I'm grateful that it didn't.
Same.
Yep.
Yeah, the teacher was just, like, such a prick. He was just, like, a real asshole who didn't want to, like, be inspiration for his students.
At all.
At all.
He wanted to lord power over them.
Yeah, that is what he wanted.
And we can see what it is. Like, he probably got made fun of a lot.
Right. By football kids.
Right. So taking it out on these guys. Messed up, man. And like,
it is messed up.
And then McGivern, like, I didn't like him at first, but I didn't think that he deserved what happened to him. So that
yeah,
was
I agree.
Situation for me, I was like, oh, I don't like this guy. Like, you know.
Yeah, I felt the same exact way. It was still like, what's about to happen here?
Right, right. That teacher, yeah, what an asshole. And Brendan Fraser laid into him, too. Like, yeah.
Dude.
And that's the thing. Like, I would not want angry Brendan Fraser at me. I would, like, it would be unsettling. I wouldn't be able to, like, God help anybody who has to be in a scene with him where he has to be angry with them. It's like, oh,
yeah,
no, I don't.
He's scary, and it's upsetting. It's like, this isn't how you are.
Yeah. And I don't want to be on the other end of this. No, you're mm-hmm. Brendan Fraser. I don't want to have angered you. Like, yeah. He's great. Like, he's got so depth, got range, man.
I'm telling you, he had like a very beautiful arc on Scrubs. A show that didn't always have a lot of depth.
yeah, true. But I watched this streamer who's a nurse, and like she says, of the shows out there, like Scrubs is one of the most accurate when it comes to those things. And I think you actually said something. I think you've said something similar where Scrubs up here, and then it's like, as much as I love House, way down here, like.
Right. And Grey's Anatomy, like, is like in another page.
Where it's like Grey's Anatomy and House, like, I unwatchable with like the medical.
I'm sure.
And I'm just like, well, unwatchable for you.
Right. Like all of us dummies out here.
Yeah.
We can all watch it. But Scrubs does like really portray like the nurse doctor relationship correctly, and how they don't shy away from how much nurses do on Scrubs, which is great.
Yes.
I ain't knocking it. I'm just saying Brendan Fraser's storyline. So beautiful.
And since we've been talking about hateful little white guys, who are some of your favorite over the years? Like, no, I think
like real life.
No, I think they're all here is the thing. But I was also thinking like Tomathan Felton, or sorry,
Tom Felton.
Tom Felton.
Tomathan.
Hold on a second. That sounds great. That's got to be a fantasy name. Tomathan. Anyway, Tom Felton, the great hateful white guy.
He sure is. Name some more.
Yeah, who else? Who else can we get in here? Let's see. Were you surprised by how things panned out for David? Like,
well, I was hoping that he wasn't going to, like, get kicked out of school. So I was relieved, I guess. I was hoping that one of those guys, because it did seem like, you know, a good amount of the guys wanted to keep him and felt kind of bad.
Right.
And so I was hopeful that he was going to stay. And I was relieved when he did.
Right.
I was sort of surprised in the way of which it happened. But, yes. Like, I was hoping the whole time that it was going to happen. But I didn't expect that guy's, like, BFF, right-hand man, to be the one to turn him in.
Yeah. And that headmaster, man, what a jerk. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy did too good. Like, their whole, I love that scene in the church when he's, like, trying to give him shit. And he's
man.
Just like, what the fuck, man? Can I just...
Just let me pray, please.
Can I pray in peace? Like, you're going to give me shit. Like,
seriously.
Yeah. I like the way you handle
it. Yeah. He does handle it really well.
Now, I can't forget. I'm going to have to. I don't think it is the same kid, but didn't that blonde kid remind you of the one from Christmas Story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think it is the same kid. I don't know, but he totally did make me think of him.
It was like, it almost ruins, like, if it had been him, it's like, oh, man, I like.
Pulls you out of it a little bit.
Let's see. Okay, I think that covers all of my big overarching questions.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So let's get to our favorite questions.
Favorites.
Favorite performance.
That's a no-brainer. It goes to Brendan Fraser. He's so good.
This is one of my favorite performances of his. Like,
yeah, he has a lot of depth to his character. And it is fun to watch him be angry.
Yeah.
Unsettling, but
fun.
I love that scene is so good.
Yeah.
My honorary goes, I feel weird about this. It does go to Matt Damon.
Does it? Nice. Well,
he's a terrible person.
Yes.
But, exactly. Like, he plays it so well, because obviously, like, he doesn't usually play characters like this
at all.
And so, and he's usually Mr. Nice Guy too. Like, you hear that he's a nice person as well. And to see him be so hateful and have it be so convincing too. You know, you have to really know how to work to be a racist on, like, I don't know how I'm trying to say this, but, like, yeah, right. You know, he's, like, obviously not that way. Exactly. And so to have him play it so well, I was like, I gotta give it to him in second place, because you do hate his character.
Yeah, big
character's horrible.
Absolutely. Yeah, and, like, yeah, right. Like, Matt Damon can come across as a bit of a tool, like, for sure. Especially his fucking cryptocurrency commercials and shit.
They make me laugh so much.
But we did get a little bit of wisdom from Matt Damon just recently, and I retweeted this or whatever. He was on that fucking Hot Wings show that you mm-hmm. got.
Yes.
And talked about, it was beautiful. Like, he really,
his episode, but I have to watch it now.
Yes, you do. Because he laid out, like, what the issue, like, have you been wondering to yourself, it's like, why aren't they making the movies that I want to see now? Like, what, like, they're making a lot of content. They're making a lot of stuff that, you know, spectacle movies and so forth. But it's more of a crate, like, nothing's really, like, hitting the spot anymore, you know? And Matt Damon kind of points it out, and, like, especially with HBO, is, like, dropping these shows left and right just so they can cut costs and not have to pay actors residuals, so it's got to be a scary time for actors. Yeah, well, like, you know, as scary as things can get for those actors.
Sure.
But he points out, it's like, well, the way it worked, we used to have DVDs, okay? So the way it used to work is investors would invest so much, you know, and, you know, you wouldn't have to make everything on the opening box on the opening weekend, because then you had DVDs coming and you could almost get a second chance at, you know, an opening, a box office opening again. So it was great. But now with streaming, it's made DVDs, like, obsolete. People aren't buying them as much anymore. So investors aren't wanting to take any risks. So we're just regurgitating the same shit over and over again. It's less risky. Makes total sense when you lay it out that way. And, like, that's
why. It does, unfortunately.
We will continue to be disappointed as long as capitalism exists, basically, is what he's getting at. So, I mean, not his words, mine, but, you know.
Right.
But he's right. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, there you go. Like, and it kind of points out a lot of things that we've kind of been feeling, but just haven't been able to, like, put words to and stuff. Where
yeah. We're, you know,
and, like, that, but that is why, like, we've been feeling like, why do we keep seeing the same thing over and over again? Why is it only superhero movies? Like, even Owen Wilson has a stupid, like, he's Iron Man. Like, right? Like, what is happening here?
Owen Wilson?
I mean, like, he's doing a movie and he's in, like, it looks like an Iron Man suit. Like,
oh.
I mean,
he's in the Loki show too.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds did the same thing with his Adam project. Like, yeah, they're just all doing superhero movies, but with changing it up. Yeah. Slightly.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Matt Damon of School Ties. Anyways, tangents, everybody.
Love it. Bring some lightheartedness.
And so with that, so favorite scene.
My favorite scene is after they all find out that he's Jewish and he goes into his room and he puts his high on. Sorry. Can't say it right. High.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I like that because it's him taking the power back.
Yeah, gotta take the power back. Yeah. Nice. Not the shower scene? Okay.
The shower scene was so entertaining because I did wonder while it was happening.
Right.
Are there a lot of naked fights in the boys' locker room?
Right.
Like, dongs flying everywhere? Like, you know, you have to think about that. Like, I feel like that'd be a very uncomfortable way to fight.
It would be. And I know you would wonder if, like, even if you got the temptation, just like, I want to.
dick punch you so bad right now.
We gotta go. Get dressed real quick, because I, like, you know, like, I, no, like, no judgment, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like, these are very vulnerable organs we're dealing with.
Like, yeah, I had a lot of questions during that scene. I was like, I wish Josh was home so I could ask him if he'd ever, like, seen a fight in a locker room before.
yeah, very interesting scene, because, yeah, it's like, you're feeling a range of emotions.
You are. You are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much.
But the fight scene looked legit. Like, all the fight scenes looked pretty legit.
Oh, really good. Yeah. I mean, it opens up right up with one. A rumble.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it kicks ass. Favorite line of dialogue?
I'll honor your tradition. I'll go to the headmaster and I'll lie.
Yeah.
David says that. Yeah. I love that. And he just says it so, like, righteously. As, yeah. You know, as he should.
Yeah.
I love it.
And that was to Chris O'Donnell's character, which Chris O'Donnell's in this movie, everybody.
True.
D'Artagnan! Awesome. Great line. And then, all right. So, would you, right? Yeah. Would you rewatch or recommend?
Yes and yes. Sure.
Yeah, right? It's a good, I think, it's a good movie.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, totally easy to watch. Heavy, but not ending heavy.
Honestly,
and it's not too heavy, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. The romance part was probably the weakest point for me, because from the get-go, I didn't want them to end up together. Like.
Right.
Yeah.
I would have been a much bigger fan if she was, like, Catholic and she knew he was Jewish and they weren't supposed to be together, but they were sneaking to be together and she was the only one that knew. Like, that would have been a better romance subplot to me.
Yes.
This was just kind of a bummer.
Just a bummer. And, like, but yeah, like, because they didn't even establish her. Like, I didn't really like her character, I don't think. Like, that was the problem.
No, she didn't really have any depth to her. She didn't have any... You know, we didn't have a reason to care about her.
Right. And then out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give School Ties?
3.
Solid. Yeah.
Solid. Yep.
Above average. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then would you reboot it?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I think that having, like, if it was going to be exactly the same, it would be a TV movie.
Right.
But I think having, like, some more exposure to, like, the discrimination that Jews face would be a good thing.
Especially this time period, there's a lot, like, yeah, there's you could do stuff.
There could be some fun story there.
Yeah.
That they could tackle.
Nice. Would not be opposed.
Would not be opposed.
Now, do you reboot Dead Poets Society? Absolutely not.
No. You just don't. Some things you just don't do.
Exactly.
And that's
why we have this segment, folks. Like, you know.
Right.
To draw attention to the fact that, like, yeah, sometimes you just don't gotta.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't gotta.
Like, yeah. Okay. Awesome. One down.
Ugh. And one to go.
All right, so let me tell you a little something about a movie called, based on a book.
Yes.
Perks of Being a Wallflower. Charlie, played by Logan Lerman, who, what happened to you, Logan Lerman? We'll talk about it. Starts high school like a lot of typical freshmen, filled with nerves, anxiety, and high hopes that he'll make friends quick, but largely go unnoticed until that auspicious day of graduation and the true beginning of his adult life. But then, not a lot of kids had the summer he just had. One that ended with a close friend of his taking his own life very abruptly. Charlie keeps his head low, but eventually meets a pair of self-proclaimed wallflowers played by Ezra Miller and Miss Emma Watson, mm-hmm. who, rather than judge Charlie for his shy, sensitive demeanor, embrace him for it and even try to help him come out of his shell. In spite of the amazing experiences with his new friends, Sam and Patrick, which include high-speed travel through tunnels, interactive shows of Rocky Horror, and tripping on pot brownies, there is still always something tragic from Charlie's past that he just can't seem to shake. With time, Charlie finds a way to confront this trauma and form a deeper, meaningful connection with his friends who ever bothered to see him at all. It's a specific story about a general feeling a lot of us are familiar with and are constantly trying to return to. He nailed it.
Nailed it.
So, it's interesting. We've covered high school movies, coming-of-age stories, and the like. This is a coming-of-age story of sorts. Like, again, like, I feel you can make the case most high school movies are coming-of-age stories. Not all coming-of-age stories are high school movies.
True.
These usually like to take a pretty lighthearted, definitely rom-com-like side. And then this other school of movie, like Dead Poets Society and School Ties, and then this one that are very much more dramatic. And this one is even in a school of its own once again, where it's like indie style and like kind of artsy in the way that, you know, everything looks really crisp.
Yeah, it does feel like an indie film, sort of. And in the way, like the music that they choose and things like that, as well as like that crisp quality.
Right.
It definitely sort of feels like you're going on a journey with the kids rather than watching it, maybe. I read the book
when
I was younger, before the movie.
Nice.
When did this movie come out? Oh yeah, before the movie.
Right?
2012. So I read it in high school, the book. Probably it was one that was recommended by Hellman, our English professor.
That would make sense.
Yes. And I really, like, the book is... The guy that wrote the book also directed this movie.
Yes.
And so the movie is, like, very nicely close to the book. Like, there's very few things that got left out, which is, like, every book lover's dream. you know, the book had a big impact. It was really... a hard book to read, you know? It sits with you in the same way that the movie does, except for you're in it for longer because you're reading it instead of watching it. And when you read it, you're reading it in the style of, like, almost a diary or a letter.
Right.
And he's talking, like, the voiceover that he does, like, dear friend or hi friend, that's, like, what you're reading it in the book, which is nice. It's an interesting way to tell a story.
Like, yeah, I never read the book, but... Yeah, movie made an impact. I was saying earlier, I watched this one nice and early, and it definitely hit me hard. And definitely the big reveal, like the twist, if you will. Like, yeah, I didn't see that coming. Like I said, I thought I was off the hook with, because there were a couple of fights where I was like, oh, okay, that must be what she was talking about. And then, like, yeah, slowly things are being cut together and pasted, and it's coming together, and then it dawns on me, and yeah, it's an interesting discovery, because then you're like, oh, that's where this is going. I did not see that coming.
And it's a big twist. Yeah, it's definitely like such an awful shock, which maybe I'll start with the hardest question, which is, how did you think they handled the subject of abuse in general, but also like the sexual abuse that Charlie suffered?
I mean, how did they handle it? I mean, they handled it well. They, I mean, they handled it beautifully. Like, especially, and I will say, actually, down to the editing and filming techniques, where it's like, hey, folks, like, you, less is more. Like, yeah, this is an example. I didn't need anything. Like, great. Like,
yeah, and it still hits you and is just as traumatizing as if you would have seen, like, a whole thing play out.
Yes, exactly.
I totally agree with that.
Totally. So that's a great example of, like, how you can use editing and sound. Like, definitely there was also music was playing a part where it was intensity was slightly ramped up a little bit. You throw in some, yeah, you just throw in some disorienting shots. You throw in, yeah. This was the beautiful part, is like you take moments from before that weren't significant maybe, and then now they're significant because you're connecting them with lines that are, yeah, said differently now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now, I think back on when Ezra Miller was saying to, and his sister were like, this is our little secret. I'm like, oh my God, what did those lines feel like to him?
Yeah.
Anytime anybody ever says that to him, like, this is a common phrase. Like, people say this.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You know, it's a very common phrase. Yes.
We'll just say this, but yeah, like, takes on new meaning if something in your past happened.
Yeah. And it's such a shock to the audience. And it was a shock to Charlie, too, like, because he had been repressing those memories.
And that was the best display of repression I've ever seen, where it's just like, because, yeah, they would always cut around or cut away. And then they finally reveal certain things. And it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it must be like.
Yeah, so that's like a really hard, obviously, like hard part to watch. Like, such a hard, like, especially because you really just don't see it coming. The way they, like, loop it in, you think that he thinks about her because she died tragically when he was young.
See, I thought it was, right, I thought it was more like, oh, he PTSD. idolized her so much. I was a little more on the side of, like an Oedipus complex or something.
Sure.
Or, like, yeah, that sort of thing. Something like that. And he just associated her with something so positive and stuff. But right, and then they had those moments where she's like, I'm going to go around the corner or something. I thought that was, like, she had this past with boyfriends. I thought, oh, no, she's going to drugs or boyfriend or something like that. Yeah, something like that, but did not think it was associated with Charlie specifically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that really, like, yeah, got me. Because, yeah, I was just like, I never would have connected that.
Yeah, same. Let's move to a, like, maybe, I mean, none of these are probably going to be super light.
Well, before one of the most beautiful moments, though, was, and I think Nina Dobrev, I think she's bigger now. Like, but
yeah.
She played his sister, is that right?
Yeah, Nina Dobrev. She was in Degrassi when she was young. She ended up being in the Vampire Diaries. She starred as, like, the main role in the Vampire Diaries on the CW. And now she does, like, she's done a couple of Netflix movies and a couple of bigger movies as well. Right.
Yes. A triple X movie.
She's great, though. And she was really great in this movie.
Yes, she did. Well, right, because she has that moment where I love she's at her, I think it's, she's hanging with her friends and shit, and then she gets all from Charlie, you know, and this is what you, like, hope would happen in any situation where it's, like, she knows,
she has this instinct, and she's like, oh, shit, somebody, like, needs to call the cops, like.
Yeah, because it's something in there, like. If you've had family members or loved ones, you just know, like, it's down to, like, if their voice is different, it's like, okay, wait, something's up. Like,
right.
And she was on it. And I love it too. And they didn't really have, like, a combative relationship. So that helps. But still, at the same time, like, siblings, you always think, like, they're just going to be like, yeah, whatever. But she was like, she's like, nope, everybody drop everything. Brothers in crisis. We got to go.
Yes. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yeah.
And it's also good that he, like, called her in the middle of that crisis, too. Like, that he felt comfortable enough to call her when he was in that panic mode.
Sure.
You know.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, what did you think of Mr. Anderson, a.k.a. Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd did great as usual. This was a teacher from the Keating side of teaching, I mm-hmm. think. He would rank in probably top five movie teachers, right? Possibly. There's not enough screen time, but at the same time, it's Paul Rudd, so how much screen time does he really need?
Right. He's so, like, he's another charismatic guy, and what he says has impact. And, you know, I feel like he was featured in the book a little bit more. But, you know, there's only so much time in the movie. And I think they really captured all of the really important things to Charlie. Yeah. I think it would be hard to be in that kind of situation, though.
Yeah, I'm like Patrick in that situation. Oh, that's fucked up.
Oh, Patrick.
Shit. That was the perfect reaction. It was like, oh, that's fucked up.
It was such a good reaction. And let's be real, Charlie, that was really an inappropriate way to... That was just like a bad move, bro.
Bad.
Like, just don't.
She could have punched him a little bit.
She could have, yeah. Either one of those girls could have.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, because, yeah, she didn't expect him, you know, Sam didn't expect him to kiss her.
Right, yeah.
And Mary Elizabeth, you know, they were boyfriend and girlfriend, so.
Yeah, both
obviously very not compatible, but.
Yeah, true. And they end up on good terms, thankfully.
They sure do, yeah. I actually, like, love when they finally get back to being friends again, and she's just like, I'm with this guy, and I understand it might be hard for you. Like, she's, like, sort of changing the narrative, which is good, you know? You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly, yeah. Very good, yeah.
I always like to ask this question when we do, like, coming of age, especially high school movies. You feel like this captured high school and being a teenager?
Surprisingly, yeah. So we've kind of talked about our high school. Like, it's a little more in the suburbs, but a little more on the conservative side, mm-hmm. even though it's a newer school and everything. But yeah, everybody, you know, it's too close to Malala and all this stuff. But anyway, this school felt a little more, it was definitely still a public school, but it felt like a little more money and like definitely these, yeah. And the kids we were following are a little, not on the privileged level of the kids in school ties, but you know, they're doing well.
Yeah.
So on some level I related to them a lot, and also the fact that they're outcasts.
Yeah.
But even then, not like your typical outcast. They're just, you know, they're just a little more sensitive, a little more artsy, a little more niche, a little more. They're hipsters is what they are.
Hipster, like misfits, like they bind together. Like, yeah, totally.
So a lot of that I got. The music choices seemed very millennial. And it turns out, I guess this takes place in the 90s. They could have done better at that.
Yeah.
Also the Rocky Horror side of things. I knew a lot of kids who did that. And we have a pretty famous one around here in Portland.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
Still did really well. So I've never been myself. I don't think you're ever too old to go.
I want to go. Yep. I've never even seen Rocky Horror, which is sort of shameful. Right. It's sort of one of those things that I'm friends with all the people who love Rocky.
Yep.
And so it's weird. Like somehow I just got missed. Right.
Yeah.
Like somehow like everybody was going and doing this thing and either I didn't get the invite or I'd be out of town or mom and dad just wouldn't let me. Like there was just something that stopped me from being able to participate. And now I'm like, I feel like I need to go to one of the shows to experience it.
Totally. Well, they can be, I've heard, like, awesome stories about people who have gone. Like, I happen to know Miss Best Chest of, like, 2006 or something like that. Because they brought her up there, and she, now this friend of mine, we talked about her on the show, Lily Lafleur.
Won Best Chest.
So there you go.
That's awesome.
And she's great. She's a burlesque dancer. If you can, see her in a show, folks. I highly recommend.
Hell yeah.
Lily Lafleur. Sorry, Lily, if I'm butchering your name, if you're listening to this. But anyway, I never got to go to one. And but with me for Rocky Horror, it's like I grew into Rocky Horror, whereas most people think grow out of it. Because I wasn't into it from the beginning. I was like, this is too weird. Like, you know, what is
I kind of remember you saying that before.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand. Like, it's just weird for the sake of being weird. It's like, No, but now I get it. And I get why. So, like, I feel like high schoolers especially, it's a rite of passage, especially if you, like, well, not especially, if, but it helps if you are, yeah, queer, LGBTQ+, like, yes. Because it very much is celebrating, like, those kinds of identities and culture. So, awesome.
Yeah, when I went to high school, I was in the Gay Straight Alliance. And I did, like, that club after school. And so I feel like a lot of my friends that loved Rocky a lot were in that club with me as well. Yeah. Yeah. I'm bummed I never got to do it. But there's still time. You're never too old to go and enjoy it.
And, yeah, it sounds like a fun time. Very interactive. A little crazy. Like, it's probably overwhelming when it's your first time. But sounds like a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this movie does portray it, like, from what I hear is how it is. And again, really? It's not going to be for everybody where it's like, yes, they pretty much have people live performing what's happening on screen, essentially. So,
right.
Like, I want to watch the movie. It's like, I don't know. I kind of want to watch the performers. Like,
same. Yeah.
And especially.
I can see, like, that, though.
Emma Watson as freaking in this thing. Like, God.
So damn, good.
That was the shit. Amazing. Yeah. Good stuff.
Really good. I like that this movie shows, like, toxic masculinity, and it shows, like, the other end of the spectrum in its characters in a positive way, right? Like, you know, we see some real shit with, like,
Brett.
Yes, thank you. And Patrick. Mm-hmm. Which is just such a bummer, you know.
Yeah.
But also, like, you just kind of feel sad for his character because he's like, stuck hiding and living this double life.
Yes.
And, like, yeah, it's terrible, like, what happens with Patrick, and it's terrible, like, that he lets that stuff happen. But at the same time, he's just, like, so trapped right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's not a winner in that story, really.
No, not really. And I wanted a little more result. It looks like he's okay in the end, but there was a point where they left the story kind of hanging that I didn't care. Where it's just like, yeah, he kind of ran out of things to numb himself because he wants to be up. So he would only talk about the positive things. And I get that. I know that tactic.
Same.
Cause yeah, no, everything's good, but it's like, you're not fooling anybody. Like,
Yeah.
But then they never really showed him come on the other side of that, except I think by the end they look like they're all together, so it's fine. Would have liked a little resolution with Patrick's character.
Me too. Like, especially, like, you know, when he is, like, trying to be positive, and then he, like, by the end of the night is just feeling really, like, down. And he kisses Charlie, and then he's apologizing, which, by the way, like, when you kiss someone and they don't like you like that, it's this reaction, like, this whole thing playing out was, like, exactly how it should be, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's fine, and we just move past it. Mm-hmm. Because it's not even like he liked Charlie. He just didn't want.
Right.
Yeah, and he just didn't want, like, to be hurting anymore. Poor Patrick.
Poor Patrick.
Speaking of Patrick and Sam, like, how do you think that their friendship is with Charlie? Like, do you think that they all are just, like, these great friends, and it's good that they came into his life? And
that's the perfect trio right there.
I agree.
The three musketeers. I liked them the character wise, and I thought the three actors had great chemistry, and it turns out, I guess, they were, like, basically doing a, you know, an apartment shared living situation during.
Oh my gosh.
So, and they're all pretty close. I'm not sure about most recently, but they stayed pretty close for a long time after production. So
Because Ezra Miller
has
some complications that we'd be remiss not to bring up.
Let's talk about, like, now I don't know all of the details, one of the most recent details definitely was concerning, involving being with a woman and their child with him, but
with them. Ezra is non-binary now.
Them, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and I saw that in IMDb, and I still fucked it up. I'm learning it.
It's okay. Everybody's learning. We all do it.
Yes.
And it's hard, too, because, like, in this movie, yes. So it's complicated.
But it sounds like it was with their consent, so then it gets into a weird thing where it's like, well, I mean, it's weird to us, but we can't do it. Because she says it's cool.
It sounds like she was in, like, a domestic abuse situation. And they offered them a safe haven sort of place. But on the property of the safe haven were guns and bullets just, like, chilling. And there's small children there.
Okay.
That's part of it.
Part
of it, too, is they had parents of a 14-year-old file a restraining order against them.
I see.
Because they've been doing some grooming.
Okay.
With.
So here we go. This is why there's concerns. Okay. Yeah.
And in doing my research, I also read that they might be leading a cult.
Oh no.
I couldn't find a lot of details about this, but I read it in multiple sources.
That's got to be the big one then. Okay. I did not know that. Okay.
So. Because they were going to play The Flash, or they are going to play The Flash. I'm not sure. DC has paused, like, talking about it at the moment, I believe, because it's raw right now. Like, it's all up in the air right now, and nothing's been resolved. And
so I will point this, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have pointed this out. Interesting how Batgirl easily tossed aside. Flash, though, we just don't know. Very interesting. Why is this? She seems pretty. I don't know.
That being said, I do think that Ezra Miller did a great job playing Patrick. Patrick was, like, a very lovable character for me.
That's what I was gonna say. Is, like, this is a situation of, I can differentiate where it's just like, I mean, you can't deny. The Patrick character is awesome and, like, should be treasured and all this and everything like that. That's different from Ezra Miller, right?
So. Right. And this was just so long ago, too. Like, and everything is up in the air right now as more things come to light. We don't know what side, like, what should be happening right now. You know, we don't know.
Well, right. And I will say, I forgot, like, I heard, like, so the last I heard was that they were going to seek professional help.
Yeah, I heard that as well.
And so the production can go forward and this and that. But so it sounds like that makes me happy, which I hope, like, if that's the case, I hope it's true. And I hope that they get the help that they need, because it does sound like they do need some help. It does sound like that's, like,
yeah,
the thing, like, that would make everybody happy, I think.
Yes. Yeah, because there's, to me, like, the worst part was maybe, like, the potential grooming of the child, but from everything I read, there was, like, nothing, like, sexual happening or anything like that. And the cult thing, you know, I've said it a lot. I think Tom Cruise is in a cult. Scientology is a cult. But what does this cult do? I don't know. I couldn't find anything on it. So, you know, but regardless, they did a great job playing Patrick. Patrick was such a lovable character and had so much heart and, like, just, like, was such a, I feel like I knew a kid like Patrick that was just, like, the kid that's, like, loud and outspoken, but sensitive and sweet and, you know, really will take anyone that looks like they don't fit in under their wing to, like, love and help them, you know.
Right.
And
yeah, big time.
And Emma Watson is just perfect. I don't really think there's anything she can do wrong.
Emma Watson did great. Definitely. So this was her first American accent.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying, I thought it was great. Like, it was a spot on American accent. her mind was occupied with it, though, like, because it, as it naturally will be, because, like, it's your first American movie, all this stuff.
Yes.
Like, she's got to worry about being American. I don't know how she held back her frustration when they're like, you're having me not know the song Heroes by David fucking Bowie. For 4 years?
It's a long ass time to not know.
You don't know Heroes by David Bowie.
Also, I will say, like, it did make me feel better when you said that it was in the 90s, because I'm like, who can't fucking look up a song, bro? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, now sure. I'm like, it makes sense. It makes sense.
It does. Yeah, that actually solidifies, like, it's like, yeah, my friend, it's like, how do these fuckers not know Heroes by David Bowie?
They, like, claim to like edgy music and different things. I'm like, how do you not know Bowie? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, do you have a special song like that?
I was hoping this would be a question.
Yes.
I was like, I hope she asked what my tunnel song
is. Yeah, I literally wrote, what's your tunnel song?
And honestly, I couldn't find one. No. So here's it took some time because, okay, what makes a tunnel song? So I'm thinking, like, it impacts you, it uplifts you, but it's not the same as it's not the same as a killer track from Baby Driver.
Right. Definitely right? Not the same.
Not the same thing.
But
it's
a song that maybe, like, he says that he feels invincible. So maybe, like, a song that gives you those feelings.
Yeah, just makes you feel. So for that song would be The Origin of Love from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Neil Patrick Harris does do a good rendition, I will say, but I'd probably go with the original over Neil Patrick. No offense. He does a great
None
job.
None taken, yeah.
He does a really, like, it is a strong second. And there's been a lot of renditions of Origin of Love because it's a Broadway musical, so of course we've had so many people play it. But yeah, that song just gets me in so many ways because it's mythological in tone. I mean, the title itself, The Origin of Love, we go on this journey, like, it's slightly mystical, but it's definitely rock. It's got a whole awesome moment and it's just uplifting and all this stuff. And that to me is kind of that song. And but also what came to mind, oddly enough, would be the songs like Stand Out or Eye to Eye from the Goofy Movie.
Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Which, by the way, that artist recently came out. So good for them being able to
live awesome.
Authentic life. I want to get their name right real quick. Hold on. There we go. Tevin Campbell. Tevin Campbell, good for you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean Powerline is canonically gay? I think so.
Excellent.
I think so.
I love it.
But anyway, yeah, it would probably be that. Somewhere along those lines. So all of those kinds of songs. And honestly, Heroes is a strong choice. That was tough. I was like, damn, I kind of want that one. Like,
yeah.
David Bowie is always a strong choice for anything uplifting or empowering. Like,
David Bowie is amazing.
So what about you? Your tunnel song.
You know? Maybe Good in Me by Jacob Westfall today.
Ooh, nice.
Who's like one of my friends who's a musician.
Oh, I love it.
It's like a pump you up song that like has a good message to it. But I don't know. Sometimes when I'm going through a tunnel, I might feel a little moody and I might want something a little bit more like the Amazing Devil.
Oh.
Or Bo Burnham. Always Bo Burnham. Amazing Devil is a band that is from the guy from The Witcher, the little music guy from The Witcher. Dandelion is what he's called in the books. The Bard, yes. I can't even think of what he's called on the show because I've been reading the books so much. But his band in real life is like this folky, like rockish band, and I'm almost always in the mood for their music too. Nice. But their songs are a lot longer and they take you on a sort of journey. But yeah, maybe something by them, maybe someday by Jacob Westfall, maybe one day by Modest Yahoo.
Good song.
I fucking hope I said that right. it is a really good song.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Tis.
Tis. So that was the last of my questions. I wanted to end it on a high note.
Yeah.
Because it's such a heavy, heavy ass movie. Did you cry?
Yeah, man. Multiple times.
Me too. And I was like wondering the first time I was crying, I was like, is this like from nostalgia of like being in this movie again? And right. I'm just like feeling the emotions, or is this just like a bummer? Like, right. You know,
sometimes it was kind of joy and sometimes it was
totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there were like moments with Patrick. Yeah. Something got me with Patrick.
Yes.
Yeah, a few golden moments. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I do like, by the way, too, and parents complained about it when this came out, but their use of drugs, like their casual use of drugs, parents were like very angry about it. But it's like, this is obviously not a children's movie. But they were mad because there was like no lessons learned about the drugs.
Right.
And I'm just kind of like, well, everybody was fine. And also like
does the conclusion always just have to be negative? Like, that's the thing. It's like, what do you want? Like, we showed drugs. Like, is every drug situation negative?
A bad drug situation? Right. Like, we see him eat one pot cookie or brownie or whatever, and then he does the LSD. Which and the LSD trip, like, actually helped him unlock some of his memories, like, in the book. And in the movie, too. Like, he was out there thinking, you know? Anyways, on that note, time for our favorite questions.
Favorites!
Favorite performance.
Goes to Logan Lerman, which, where'd you go, Logan Lerman?
Yeah.
Percy Jackson, which this is way better performance, but
yes, I agree.
I mean, it's this and Percy Jackson, let's be honest. but I really like that guy, and yeah, he did a really good job here. This is top-notch performance. Like, you can see, like, watching this, you do wonder, it's like, wait, why was this, what happened to this kid?
Yeah, absolutely.
Honorary would go, and I know it's controversial. We kind of talked about it already, folks, but I am going to give it to Ezra Miller. Again, judging solely by the performance, the character, and all that stuff, how we feel about them now, like, you know, it's
up in the air, maybe, but yeah, like, the performance here was so solid, and the character of Patrick was just, like, so wonderfully done. Yeah. They did such a good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally concur. I totally agree. Favorite scene?
Any of the, like, just splice together all the Rocky Horror stuff and there you go. Yeah.
That so was good.
I mean, the fact that I got to see, like, you're getting a 2-for-1 special here. You get to see Emma Watson play in a Rocky Horror show and do it very well.
Favorite quote?
We can't choose where we come from, but we can choose where we go from there.
I love that. And that's from his doctor, which is the voice of Jesse from Toy Story.
It's Joan Cusack.
Joan Cusack. I know her anywhere as the voice of Jesse from Toy Story.
Honestly, here's the thing that will happen. So whenever Joan Cusack or John Cusack are in a movie, okay, here's what will happen. You see the credits roll. You see, so in this case, I see Joan Cusack roll up. I'm like, oh, awesome. Okay, cool. And I'm waiting for John Cusack to show up. And then she goes up and I'm like, oh, what's she doing in this movie?
Oh, right. Read the name wrong.
And then it goes the other way, too, where it's just like, cool. John Cusack's in this movie. Okay, cool. Like, yeah.
Well, there's this thing that's like your brain looks at the first and last letter of a word and just fills in the blanks itself. So that you don't have to, like, spend the time actually reading through the words. It's very common for people. Like, yes. Another one people always say is, like, we accept the love we think we deserve.
Of course.
Which is also very true.
No, but. Yeah. No, but true. But true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good quote, though. I really like that one.
It is.
And it's very true, too, because, like, you can't really change the past, but you can change, like, what you're doing towards the future, so.
Exactly. And that's why, yeah, that's why you get to judge people when it's just, like, it's like, it's like, bro, move on.
Move on.
Move
awesome.
On.
Awesome.
You want
Would you rewatch Recommend?
Yes and yes.
Excellent.
At a time, perhaps.
I will say I'm glad that I didn't have, like...
Start the morning. Like,
definitely don't watch it in the morning. I did watch it mid-afternoon yesterday, and I did have regrets. I was like, why did I do this to myself? It's a beautiful movie. It's just so, like, it sits with you, and you feel, like, bummed. Yeah. You just feel bummed, unfortunately.
Yeah,
it does make you sort of, like, get in your head a little bit. What was I going to say? I don't know. What would you rate it out of 5 stars?
Solid. 4.5.
Damn.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, really high. I think, so I will, so what prevents, I don't know what quite prevents it from getting a 5. You know what? Part of it, I think, is some of the Ezra Miller of it all.
Sure.
It never quite took me out. It did, like, just in the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, I gotta kind of adjust, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, but again, fortunately, the character is just so drastically different from the portrayal, I think, in the media. I think that helps.
Yes.
To an extent. Yeah. But anywho, so I think that was part of it. And just, there were just some instances of maybe some wooden performances that I caught, but that's it. Like, and that's just real nitpicky, but that's where you get to when it's like a 4.5 or a 5. Like,
I totally get it.
Little things like that, but really close. It could be a 5 on a different day easily, but just, yeah, 4.5, you know?
Good. Awesome. Would you reboot it?
No, this is one of those cases where it's like, no, you know, make another solid coming of age story. But otherwise, like, no, like, we just need more stories like this, but not the same one.
Yeah, I agree. It's, like, heavy enough, and they did such a good job, like, transferring it from book to movie that I wouldn't want them to, like, fuck it up.
Yep.
By rebooting it, which they most certainly would.
Yes.
Although the guy that plays Eddie from Stranger Things would also make a really good Patrick.
Nice.
Just gonna throw that out there.
That's true.
Joseph Quinn.
Uh-huh.
yeah. Awesome.
Perfect.
I think that's the end of this.
There's that. All right. So both movies are taken care of. So now it's time to get to the namesake of the show. Let's make the movie connection.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made.
Small in size, light in weight. What's the connection?
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected in the great circle of life.
All right, Casey, what do you got for connections?
Both movies feature religion.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep. You can think about that one.
In Perks of Being a Wallflower, there's, like, a lot of Catholicism, uh-huh. Excuse me. I'm really sorry for saying that wrong. Catholicism happening.
Yeah. Awesome. Both have teachers who are unreasonably mean to their students.
That's true.
Now the teacher in Perks of Being a Wallflower, it's done somehow a little more comedically, I suppose. But at the end of the day, I mean, he calls a student nothing, like, you know.
Right.
It's not cool.
Not cool.
Which, did you recognize that actor by any chance from a little movie called From Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh my God.
All right.
That's awesome. Both main characters want to fit in and keep them some things to themselves to do so.
Exactly. Yeah, in the same vein, Charlie and David, they feel like they need to hide a part of themselves. Like, yep.
Yes.
Right? Intolerance on full display in both.
Yes. Both movies have football games in them.
Ah, yep. Perfect. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, I like it. See, you get the good ones. No. Anything else?
Both movies have a display of toxic masculinity associated with sports, especially.
Yeah, you're right. Yes. Freaking sports heads. All right. Anything else?
That's what I got.
Perfect. Yep. Solid connections.
Really good connections.
All right, folks, so those are the connections. And now, so if you found yourself enjoying either one of these movies and wanted to see movies similar to them, we did a little movie matchmaking for you.
But look at this nice thing, though, we have here.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find, catch me a catch.
So if you enjoyed The Perks of Being a Wallflower, you might enjoy Love, Simon, which we covered on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The Spectacular Now.
Oh, so good. Miles now, Teller.
Yes, this is a little bit of a stretch, but 500 Days of Summer. I bring this one up because it plays with point of view.
Yeah.
A person being drastically different from where they started and where they end up and everything. So there's some of that. It's a little more on the comedic side, but there's some depth there that,
yeah,
there's similarities.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if you enjoyed School Ties, you might enjoy With Honors, Dead Poets Society, Good Will Hunting.
Perfect. Yes. All of those. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
All right. Movie matchmaking out of the way. And now some recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
We are only, well, so, I mean, by the time this releases, we'll be two episodes in, but I am currently one episode in on She-Hulk, but I'm definitely going to recommend She-Hulk Attorney at Law.
Woo!
It was a strong first episode, a little rushed, but at the end of the day, I was like, nope, solid writing, solid casting, all this just felt a little rushed. Hey, I'm not gonna hate it.
And I'm going to recommend, I'm super excited to talk about it, Pod Meets World.
Oh, God.
I finally started the Boy Meets World recap podcast with Danielle Fishel, Will Friedle, and Ryder Strong, which are Topanga, Eric, and Sean. I am enjoying it so much, and hearing their perspectives on something that really shaped my childhood and a lot of other people's childhood as well.
Yeah.
It's just really cool to like hear their fond memories and like maybe not so fond memories that are associated. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Danielle Fishel talks about
sexism. Her,
well, yes, that will come up later. But she talks about how like the first day that she had there practicing and doing like the script run through and stuff. Michael's notes were like so long that he made her wait till the end, and then he told her that if she didn't like come back with a whole new persona that she was gonna be gone. And they had already replaced Topanga once when Danielle Fishel took the job, which is why it takes like four episodes to see Topanga.
Oh, interesting.
And just like the scary, that guy sounds like he's really perfectionist. Which yeah, maybe is like hard to work for. They have nice things to say about him too. So it's not like it was like a really horrible place to be, but it sounds like it was a really intense place to be for like an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
And I found out one kind of weird thing, which was Will Friedle, which is Eric, in the episode, and then there was Sean, which we've covered on the show. It's like probably both of our favorite episode. It's a lot of people's favorite episode.
Wait.
What?
Halloween episode?
The Halloween episode.
Talked about it?
Yeah, they haven't covered it yet, but they already discussed it in the first episode of the show because they love this episode.
Okay.
Will Friedle, his girlfriend in real life was Jennifer Love Hewitt. So that scene in the hallway where we were like, holy shit, they are really, like he grabs her and kisses her. It was his girlfriend.
That's cool. That makes
so
sense.
There was like a level of familiarity there that we just didn't know was there. So we were like, wow, that was a really intense, like, but it was like in real life, there was just a lot of chemistry too, I guess. Right. So that's kind of like a funny little tidbit that they already threw out there.
Makes me so happy that they're going to talk about that.
Yeah. The podcast is just like such a nostalgia bucket, and they've already had Mr. Matthews, the dad, Alan Matthews on twice. He's already been in two episodes so far.
I got to work with him on Grimm, and yeah, he's really nice dude. Yeah.
So it's bringing me a lot of joy right now, and I have been listening to it a lot while I'm working.
Love it.
Yes.
All right. With that in mind, I think it's time for, if you have a recommendation of your own that you want to send us, send our way, you can send it to our email.
MovieConnectionPodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram.
At The Movie Connection, all one word.
Or you can follow us individually. Me at Jacob Bean Watson.
And me at KC Schwartz.
We got a Facebook, all of that stuff. Hey, if you would be so kind as to head over to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rate and review. It would be most appreciated.
Yeah.
I frequent Letterboxd, so head over to Letterboxd. I've got a link in the profile to tell you more about what I do there. I'm reviewing movies all the time. And now the moment you all been waiting for, where we assign each other the movies to watch for next week.
Ooh.
All right, Casey, so what are you having me watch? And we're continuing this trend of, like, back-to-school movies, basically.
Yeah, I'm assigning you Valley Girl.
Valley Girl, the original with Nick Cage.
Yeah, buddy.
Love it. So since we're taking a turn for the more fun-filled type of thing, let's go. I'm going to assign you Bring It On.
Hell yeah.
Starring Kirsten Dunst.
It's been a hot minute since I watched this, and I am excited to get into it.
Yeah.
It's like a whole damn franchise, too. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I actually was expecting more.
Really?
It's crazy. A little bit. Because there's only about, I think there's like four.
Oh, four. Okay. That's way less than I thought as well. I was thinking it was on the same level as Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah. No, unfortunately. Perfect. Bring It On and Valley Girl. That's going to be a fun week. I like it.
Hell yeah.
All right, everybody, you take care, and we will see you same time next week.
Bye.
Chess pawns, clock, matches, all physical objects man-made, sporting size, nice and weight. It's the connection.
Surprised to see me?
No.
Then you're aware
of what?
Our connection.
And so, we are all connected. In the great circle of life.